the subject for this afternoon is looking at the issue of the gap between faith and work, and that assumes that there's some gap. Now, maybe that's not true for all of us, but we'll soon find out. But we'll be looking at that potential gap. And this evening, as I mentioned to those in the community the other day, a couple of people will be telling their stories. In particular, Steve, who's over here, and Tom, who's over here, who have both worked in defense industry, and will be telling some of their work stories tonight. We'll have a chance to talk, raise questions with them, and discuss things. And then tomorrow, as I previously mentioned, we'll be looking at what those opportunities are to make a difference in the workplace. And in the evening, we'll be looking at the question of how do we go about deciding where God wants us to be. And Sunday morning should be interesting, looking at the question of power and how much impact can we have and should we have? How should we relate to issues of power? So I want to start out with putting up somebody you may have seen before on an overhead projector. Are most of you by this time aware that there might be two different ways to look at this? These two guys figured out both of them, actually. Oh, you just saw it. There are two different ways to look at this. One is to see, there are probably more than two, actually. Some people have seen hippopotami and everything else in here. One is to see an older person, an older woman, and one is to see a younger woman. Now, let's see, before we draw any conclusions about this, let's see if we can all get to see both of them. Some of you are still only seeing one, right? All right. Anybody want to describe to someone how they can see the younger woman who doesn't see it?
The nose is the face.
The nose is the chin.
Chin line.
Right. The nose is the chin.
The right eye of the head is the ear of the young woman.
Is it a profile? Is it a?
Yeah, they're both profiles. Actually, for the sake of not going through verbal exercises and how we can communicate, let me just point it out. The older, what was I showing? The younger person to start with? The chin is here. Person is looking away in this direction. So you just barely see the tip of their nose. So you have a chin, and this is the cheek, and that's the nose, a little bit of the eye looking away. And this would be an ear.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The older woman has a chin. Uh-huh. A mouth, a nose, rather large nose, an eye. This is an eye in that case. All right. Now, some of you are probably still straining, right? Does everybody see both at this point? Now, it's almost inevitable that I get some. Have you seen both?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, some of you may have seen both, but you probably can't see both right now. That's another thing that happens.
Can't see both at the same time.
No. It's almost inevitable that somebody gives an exclamation about, oh my gosh, you know, seeing it in a different way. What significance, those of you that are experts in this, have seen this before, what significance do we draw? What lessons can we draw from this image?
That people perceive things in different ways.
Yep. Let's add on to that. I think that's an essential lesson in here. What else?
Yeah. It takes some work to see the other view.
Yeah.
It also helped. The way that you helped show other people was to break it up into parts.
Well, that was it. That's interesting.
Some people will look at something and see something very beautiful, and other people will look at it and see something not so good.
Uh-huh.
I think I had to learn that I have to respect the other person's opinion about what he sees there, even if I see something different.
Mm-hmm.
for whatever it is that I'm looking at, this or something else.
Yeah. And part of that, I think, can happen is that if we see things in very different ways, and by really respecting and trying to understand a different point of view, we can come out with a better understanding ourselves. Almost all of us, I assume, when we first saw this, only saw one image, and we didn't necessarily pick up the other. By communicating with other people and getting a different angle on something, we become better educated about a situation. In fact, the artist in this case intended this to be able to be taken in two ways. Most of us, when we first saw it, only saw part of what the artist intended. And now we can see more because we've talked. And I think that's really true about a lot of situations, such as the connection between faith and work, that we may right at this moment be seeing it in one way, but if we really attend to each other's viewpoints over the next 2 or 3 days, we might learn a whole lot more, even if some of those viewpoints seem very difficult. And I'll tell you, if you want to know how difficult it is to change your view, I bet you there were some people that saw the two before they came here today, you know, have seen this earlier, but couldn't find the two of them today. Is that true with anybody?
Yeah.
It's, you know, sometimes we still only see it in one way, and it's really hard. So it's just a request for an open mind. It's also, let me add on another piece to that. There's a lot of ideas. I mean, I've been doing this work for a couple of years now, and I could go on and talk for hours about some of the ideas and concepts and theology and all that. But really, what my hope for this workshop is that we balance those ideas with talking about our experiences and also sharing our feelings. And at least as a starter, I'd say that feelings should be considered in this workshop to be facts. If something that is said that I say makes someone anxious or angry, that's a fact of the situation. And I'd encourage us to get those emotions out on the table, because I think they're very useful for understanding what's happening. So it's really an encouragement to express ourselves throughout the weekend. Okay. Now, usually it takes me a while before I lose my notes. I already lost. Here we go. Okay. Well, I'd like to move into the into some introductions. And I'd like to do these introductions in two steps. One is to do brief introductions into the full group, and then we're going to break into smaller groups, and I'll ask a couple of other questions. For the full group, I'd like you to give your name, I'd like you to give a place that you have worked. And many of you are here at Holden Village right now. A lot of what we say is applicable to your work at Holden Village. I think I'm going to encourage you, not insist, but encourage that you choose one of your previous jobs that you held before coming to Holden. Now, that does not need to be a paid job, a paid work. If you were a homemaker, or if you did some volunteer work, those are both obviously work. So, one place that you have worked. And give a celebration of how God worked through you in that situation. One way. There'll be a chance later to talk about a lot of other ways. So one way, small or big, that you feel God may have been working through you in that situation. And I did say the word may, because sometimes it's hard for us to tell. Okay, but one way that you think God may have been working through you in that situation. And if you wish, something you hope to get out of the weekend. If you have something in particular, a question you'd like to have answered, just any hope that you have for the weekend. So let's run through these. We'll go around and go through these reasonably succinctly. So, who would like to begin? Bob, I'm looking at you.
Okay. My name's Bob Gracious. One place I work is Gracious Custom Cabins. And I guess one celebration, or one way I felt used of God in one way, would be trying to instill quality in what I was working on. When I work with people, I include intimacy, quality, and work too.
Yeah. Good.
And one thing I hope to get out of this is a new perspective on other ways of viewing work and faith.
Shall we go? Go ahead.
My name is Ann Gracious. I've worked at Good Samaritan Rehab Center as a rehab nurse. One celebration was working in a place like that as a Christian with people who have experienced trauma. And something that I hope to get from this is some discernment concerning vocation.
Mm-hmm. My name is David Land. One place I work is on Mississippi Queen. Steve over on Mississippi Queen.
A little louder, David.
A method that God was working through me on the boat was communicating with the guests and with the southern staff. It was the majority of the staff on the boat. And I guess I'd have to say I don't know what I'm going to do when I unfold them, and I have to figure out areas or ways to open up my mind to call them.
I did ask for succinct statements, and maybe I'm going to ask for a little bit of expansion, because it would help me to know when you say communicating with people. How was that an expression of your faith?
I get a large charge out of helping people smile.
Okay.
And I kind of made it my thing to do.
Good. Yeah, that helps. Thanks.
It comes real hard to do.
My name is Jeanette Schmidt, and I worked quite a few years off and on in public school education, elementary education, and I really felt like I helped kids just by being a friend in a lot of respects, and helping kids who had a lot of problems to work through some of those problems, not only in academics, but mm-hmm. by being a friend and giving attention to kids. And what I hope to get out of this, when I leave Holden, I'd like to go back to work, and I'd like to go into some area that I feel is meaningful for me and for other people. Mm-hmm.
Let's shift. How about over here? Yep.
Me?
I forgot your name. So.
Emil.
Emil, right.
Yeah, Emil Martinson. I'm a retired pastor. The last workplace was at Forest City, Iowa, the home of Winnebago Industries. But I worked, I had two churches in the parish. And I guess what I... You were talking about the celebration, I guess. It's hard to be succinct other than to say that I enjoyed people and working with people, and people were good to me. And I felt like being in my last parish was the best parish of all. What I hope to get now, hard to say because I guess a little bit more mind expansion and a little bit more perception of, mm-hmm. of things. So I don't know what I'll be doing. Being I'm retired, I don't know what I'll be doing when I go on from here.
Thanks.
My name is Steve Boyd. One place where I worked was in the Office of Secretary of Defense for Strategic and Theater Nuclear Weapons as a weapons systems analyst. What, I had two celebrations that are both equally important for me. One was I helped one of my coworkers when she had a tremendous crisis, and just it was the right thing to do to help. And the other one was I helped cancel a very dumb weapon system. What I hope to get out of this is a focus to help re-examine my particular vocation to see if it's still valid, because I have to do that regularly.
Anybody else? You just figure it out yourself as you go around. Go ahead, Barry.
Barry Shelley. And one place I worked about 6 years ago was as doing community organizing and also some religious education out of a small bilingual, multiracial church in the South End of Boston. And one celebration, I guess, I immediately started thinking more, both in terms of very personal terms, but also in thinking ahead about the session on institutional stuff. I guess one celebration would be that there is now a $35 million, 270-unit multi-income housing project in Boston that wasn't there 6 years ago, primarily because of a community development organization that I was on the board for. And that's a real triumph, especially since it's been a political battle for about 25 years. And I guess to getting things out of this would be, again, exploring the whole issue of vocation.
I'm Jeanette Martinson. I worked in my own home, and I had a yarn shop, and dealing with people, being honest with them, I guess is probably one of the celebrations that I had. I'd like to hear more about vocations. I'm retired too.
Let's go ahead around the back.
Okay, I'm Glenda Stratton. I have worked in the dental office. Celebration there, I guess, would be in helping people appreciate the teeth and tissue and bony structure that God gave them to take care of. And I hope to gain, I have no expectations, I'm here for the taking.
I didn't hear you, I'm sorry. Yeah.
As far as what I hope to gain from this, yeah. I have no expectations.
I'm Paula Nyman, and I worked as a third grade teacher in Medicine Lake, Montana. The celebration that I can think of is one little boy who was quite a troubled little boy, just being able to listen to him and help him deal with his emotions in a more positive way. And what I hope to gain, I guess I would agree with Anne in just being able to discern a vocation. I'm not teaching right now, so I'm just trying to decide whether I'm going to go back to that or not. Mm-hmm.
My name is Cheryl Raymond. One place I worked is at the zoo,
managing the concession stands. Cause for celebration was, I guess, I learned patience and how to give my 100% and motivate other employees to do that also. I'm not really expecting anything either. I'm just sort of here to learn whatever you have to teach and approaching this with an open mind.
My name is Tim Stewart. I work for a smaller savings and loan bank in Seattle. And I guess my celebration is helping people with like finances when they come in, they just don't know what to do with their money. Maybe helping them decide what the best type of investment is, and I enjoy helping people with that. And what I want to get out of it is maybe when I go back to work at a bank, how I can, in my process of working, worship God at the same time. And I hope maybe I can understand that.
The back.
I'm Penny Reinhardt. The last place I worked before here was being a youth director in a congregation. Two congregations, actually. Celebration moments. Mainly I'd kind of narrowed down to relationships with kids and seeing religion or the church structure turn into aha moments and faith issues. And what I hope to get out of the retreat is hearing more support on laity instead of ordained people, or in addition to ordained people.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Julie Amundsen, and my last job was as a mental health counselor, and my celebrations in my work would be being allowed to be in the process of healing as people are finding healing in their strength. What do I hope to get? I haven't really thought a lot about it, so I don't know, but I'm interested in what you have to say.
Okay.
My name is Tom Donnelly. One workplace was a chief engineer on a very large aircraft carrier. A celebration was, I guess, helping the people who work for me to understand that among all of us in the 700-man department were a lot of people who, no matter how we counted it, were not very smart. And that it was very easy to take advantage of them. They were especially vulnerable people. And that if we did take advantage of them, we were simply hiding from our own responsibilities. What do I hope to get out of it? Out of this time together? I've been carrying around a little hang-up recently between work and job. And I'm finding it necessary to distinguish between the two. And most people tend to put them together, and so I've got very picky on it. I wish I wasn't so picky.
I'm Mary Ellen Donnelly, and I've worked for quite a long time now with high school youth at a Catholic church. And we've had many celebrations, but mainly on retreat weekends with the kids, how well we get to know one another and giant leaps young people can make in experiences like that. And something I hope to get out of this weekend is some idea of what I might do with myself when I stop being a secretary in the shipyard.
My name is Tom Colenso, and I am currently an intern pastor in Portland, Oregon. And one of the celebrations that I have, I intend to focus my work at least early on with youth. And some of the greatest joys I've been getting this year out in that area is being able to turn something which for youth is boring to something that they can smile and laugh and enjoy. Mm-hmm. terms of what I'm interested in or what I might hope for is I'm interested in the dynamics. As I've worked my way through seminary, I've been working in a truck yard, a produce truck yard, and this whole thing of faith and work was always going on in my mind. This area is really, this place where I'm working is very interesting. Where do I bring that aspect mm-hmm. of my life into it?
Thanks.
My name is Charles Allen. I'm retired from the Pacific Northwest Bell Telephone Company. I worked there 32 years. I've been a conscientious objector. I prefer to call it a Christian objector since high school. I simply tried to live as a Christian, working among my fellow workers. I'm very happy to be able to attend this conference and hear a discussion of the subject.
Mm-hmm. Spence?
My name is Spence Braden. I work for Star Machinery in Seattle. I actually have two celebrations, I guess. One of them is helping to influence Boeing and Kenworth Truck, assisting them in pursuing cost-effective technologies that are also reducing the environmental impact of their production and manufacturing processes. That's been a real pride and joy in my job. Another thing has been being able to share with people the fact that I am a Christian in a way that is non-threatening and puts them at ease. I have a lot of interaction with my customers on a personal basis. A lot of times we get to know each other pretty well, and that's been a real celebration. What I hope to get is I hope to find out if whether or not God is calling me to help, what should I say, to assist the defense industry in some of their goals. Part of my job, a good portion of it, is working with Boeing on defense-related projects. I've been asking myself the question, is this what God wants me to do? And I am coming up with all kinds of answers. And I hope to come up with perhaps some more here.
I'm Jackie Rolzna. One of the college jobs I had was working in a corn packing factory as a husker, nighttime. And I think I immediately thought of that job because it was probably one of the more working class jobs that I've had. And I look back on sort of the ministry, maybe that it was probably a little more difficult for me to see that. I didn't see anything but drudgery. But I really enjoyed the time I had with the older women who worked there, and it was their life, it was their social outlet, and we had some incredibly good conversations over breaks that were really educational for me. And I think one of the things I like to get is being able to merge. I thought that the ministry and work thing was pretty integrated for me until I came to Holden, and I'm toying with the idea of leaving and maybe doing and separating them more. And I'm not sure why I want to do that, except that I sort of sometimes have this idea of, well, I'll get, like you were talking about, a job and spend my other time doing the activist kind of stuff I like to do. So I don't know why I'm swinging the other way, but I'm curious to how you're going to do that, pull that together.
Yeah. Well, I would just say initially, I think that's a viable option. You know, that is a faithful option for some people. But part of what we'll be doing through the weekend is to look at the possibility of how one can see one's job as a ministry. What are the opportunities there?
Maybe I'm more curious about what's motivating you to think of that.
Yeah. Carrie?
My last job before I came home was at a small-town newspaper in Oregon as a reporter. And I always felt pretty worthwhile when I could be a link in the communication of getting the news out. If Women's International League for Peace and Freedom wanted to show a film and wanted people to come, I could help them with that. And I'm interested in most all your aspects.
Okay.
I'm Evelyn Torkelson. I have been a homemaker all my working days. I think the celebration is that I was in two very different situations. My first husband was a pastor, my second husband was a farmer. And I can look back now and see that I did make a difference in their lives and in their work. And I think that's what I would celebrate. And I leave here in a wide open situation, not knowing what I will do. So I have lots to learn and lots to decide.
I'm Vicki Ivan. Last year I taught school in Pulseville, Iowa. And when I think of the celebration that I had last year, I think immediately of a little boy who was in my Talented and Gifted program. And it was a situation where a little boy had been identified at a very young age with some real special gifts and talents. And he'd been sort of victimized by the public school system. And by the time he got to fourth grade, he was not performing at all. And his scores didn't even allow him to get into the program. And so there were a couple of us that really advocated for his placement in that program. And by partway through the first semester, we got him in. And by parent-teacher conferences after Christmas, his mother said that had we not gotten him in, they would have moved, that they just felt really strongly that that was important. And it really turned him around educationally. And I was just really excited to be a part of that process. What I hope to get out of the weekend, I guess, is just some real thinking and processing about where I go from here with my teaching career.
Thank you all. I want to have us explore a little bit more in the same direction. We've been talking about how we celebrate God working through us, and Vicki, you alluded to, you know, how it didn't really seem much connected, and I think some of you others also said that. I sense that for most of us, there are going to be points of connection and also points of disconnection with what we do in the workplace. So what the main question I'd like you to address at this point is, in small groups, is what are some other ways that I felt my faith was connected to my work in this place? And you've heard a lot of people come up with a lot of different kinds of connections, so you might pick up on some of those. So how else am I connected besides what I've already said? And where have I felt disconnected? What was I doing there that felt disconnected from my faith, or didn't seem to have anything to do with it, or felt like I was working against my faith, whatever? So really the two questions are, talk more about the connection. And talk about some points where you are felt disconnected. Let's do this in groups of four, and let's take about 15 minutes. So how do people like to work around here? Do you want to sort of do your own timing and be casual about it, or do you want me to tell you when a quarter of the time is up? And I'm happy to be casual, if that's all right. You can sort of go. I think that would work just as well here. That's the whole
thing. You'll run way over.
You'll run way over. Okay, well, you have 10 minutes then.
We'll need to call us back if you don't have to tell.
All right, I'll give you, actually, we'll go for 15 minutes, and I'll tell you when 5 minutes are left so you know what how to gauge it at that point. I encourage you to find four people who you have not been talking to a lot. So some of you are in the Winter Sojourn program sitting next to each other. See if you can at least not pair up with three other people in that program. Likewise, couples, I encourage you to split. So let's move around a little bit.
School district with a lot of former teachers. And
by the example, them knowing that pastors would, and I was a Christian, that just setting an example for the Christian faith, I felt like it was good for them to see that they don't spread. And maybe teaching I always got real frustrated. Working in classes in large classes with kids at home, between the cracks, not reaching everybody, despite all that frustrating, and if that's not the right way, for some reason something wrong, the license is falling between the cracks.
There's a lot of unanswered questions.
I feel like that, shower.
When I came back to my divorce, I felt most connected now to my faith and my work when I was actually so much more fit and being able to help them have a better self-image or
not faith without being unfaithful. In other words, one of the ways that our job has been accounted for is
my relationships with the other teacher and also
I'm
like them.
But
it's now so bad that it's
Tom's is one that's based off of John. I go to worship and feel like I'm going to worship.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's great.
And avoid the military service.
No, I didn't try to say it.
Did it feel less pointed? Did your face feel less pointed when you were doing the military work?
I'm not necessarily saying it well.
It's because I never struggle with the question.
Could we reconvene? In line with our theme of seeing different points of view, I'd like to approach another image here and hear some first responses. What do you see? I will point out some of the objects just so that we wander around the diagram and see a number of the same objects. But then in terms of interpretation, I'd like to hear some opinions. So there is a sun, but probably represents a church, a person, some kind of whatever you want to call that. I'll leave that up to interpretation. A house, probably a factory, an office building, and a storm cloud. Well, maybe somebody said that was a peanut, so maybe that's a question of interpretation too.
Small.
I'll digress for a moment here. We used to have a completely black cloud. And given the nature of language and images, some black people felt that the way blackness is used to promote negativity, to talk about a black cloud, played into some racism. They weren't, you know, they just thought it was better without. So we changed it to a storm cloud. But as soon as we changed it, I had, next two workshops, I had people call it a peanut. So I don't know what you all see.
Potato,
thank you. That's right, we got to get out to this part of the country. I'm used to the Northeast. All right. So,
what's next?
You got to wait a minute. So, what do you all see? How do you interpret this?
Well, I guess I saw a potato too, and I guess the way you can look at that is how the potato is part of the industrial side, which is the side, or all that side. And you see the man is kind of the bridge between the industrial side and also the church and bright side. But the man is touching the industrial side. It seems that he can't touch the church side while he is also in the workplace. And yet the type of worship with God has a different side of him, but yet he touches more of reality, which is in the workplace, rather than worship.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say? Okay, the next image.
I thought that was going to be a little distant than it was now.
Far away.
Yeah.
This is an interesting point, though, because most of our time is spent in the workplace, not in a place of worship.
Right.
So there is a, you know, in terms of sheer gross time spent, a much greater connection with the world. I kind of feel like, you know, there's that conflict between the world's goals and the goals of our faith. And all those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's the man who kind of bridged those two things together that are basically, in some very stark terms, diametrically opposed to each other.
Mm-hmm. Other comments? Yeah.
The sun appears to be shining just from the church.
And what do you think of that?
I would guess that the church's main corporate headquarters look more like they're over there in the office building on the right.
Yes, sir.
How about the local parish? What does that look like?
I hope it's more like on the left. Anyway.
Uh-huh. Well, there are a lot of different ways to interpret this. I would say, from my own opinion, that from my own experiences, when I've been inside church buildings, I have experienced both storm clouds and sun. And when I've been out in other parts of the world, I've experienced both sun and storm clouds. Yet the image of this is one of a person who sees the faith having some light and trying to make some connections. And I think significantly is not touching both at the same time. And it's also not particularly comfortable. And the gap in between there is not a very comforting gap. I wouldn't want to be standing there for too long. So, in a way, it picks up on some of the disconnections. I think it would be interesting. I enjoyed my listening in on this group over here. Can we bring out in a phrase some of the disconnections that we experienced or we've heard others? I mean, there's stuff talked about by stress and other things. Let's just name a few of the disconnections. We've been talking before about the connections in the full group. Let's hear a list of the disconnections. Call them out.
Faith not being considered at all.
Okay.
Frustration, stress.
Ambiguity.
Speak up so we can all hear.
Ambiguity.
All right.
Unjust work environments or environments that are not healthy.
Or environments that take advantage of your attempt to being faithful and wind up using you unjustly.
Boredom.
That the value in the workplace is product and the value in the church place is process.
Others?
Experiment.
I didn't hear.
Experiment.
Okay. Another image. Sorry, I'm in your way. Let's name some of the objects we see. Let's call those out before we get to interpretation.
Worm in the apple.
Worm in the apple, yeah, that's usually first. Those of you that didn't see it, it's up there.
I like the roots.
Okay, roots or ruts, whatever you want to call them.
A school? Is that a school?
Sure.
And a bar.
Yep. Speak up, I didn't hear back there.
Factory.
Okay.
Different races of people inside that person.
Okay. So you almost mentioned two things inside a person, so you're talking about a big person and then different races within the within that, yeah.
The church is in the center.
Yeah.
Is that a court over on the far right?
Could be.
Courthouse.
Courthouse or government building, something like that.
Is it a farm?
Yeah.
All touching the persons.
Right.
Every person that is one person of gain.
All right. Let's.
Is that a suburb?
I didn't hear.
Is that a suburb?
Sure. I didn't think of it as a suburb. Houses, homes.
The rest of the farm.
She's from the farm.
It's Holmes Village. Is that a suburb?
Everything's connected.
Okay. Let's do some interpretation. In fact, before we do that in the full group, just do it for a minute with a person next to you. See if you come up with the same way of looking at it or a different way. find one or two people and just talk for a minute. Okay, let's pull this together and hear some interpretations.
We're all connected by many, by one root.
By one?
By one root.
Okay.
I see the tree as a universe and that we're all connected and we're all part of the universe. And so we are essentially one.
Okay.
If that's sort of the process of being a human anyway, it's not a completely inward spiritual journey. Part of the product is the apples that are out there. Part of being is to express yourself or do something that's external. Don't just make it an internal thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can't bear fruit without all the parts of the body. Everyone needs each other. All the different communities need each other, all the different people need each other, and that's the only way for the tree to live.
I see more of a sense of wholeness as well, integrating the different parts of your faith, being the center and being able to reach all the other areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's significant also that the people are more focused in on than the actual church.
I see that the people are the church.
The people, so we have sort of two different definitions here about what the church is. One is the center, that building in the center, and the other is the people are the church.
I see the people of God in the body of Christ.
Yeah, what might that have to do with? Anybody want to give some, expound upon some theology here about the worm?
They're always going to have Ben Apple in the place, so somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Someplace.
Not all the fruit we bear will always be good.
Yeah.
But not all the fruit we bear will always be bad, there's a hope.
Yeah. Well, the artist who drew this intended very much for the kinds of descriptions that you've come up with. In fact, did intend this to be an image of the body of Christ in the world. And the church is at the heart center of the body, and just as the heart takes blood and then sends it forth, the church brings people in and sends them forth, nourished, hopefully, to do their work in the different parts of the body. And of course we do need all those different parts of the body. And the tree, we might say, is rooted in God and bears fruit. Not all of that fruit is going to be good, despite our best intentions, and maybe sometimes our intentions aren't the best intentions. So how would you contrast this image with this one? What different feelings do these bring out? Does this feel like what your work is like? Does this feel like what your work is like, or the previous job you had, or is it some other image? Maybe neither of these work. Go ahead, over here.
So this one, Christ is the center of everything, and the other one, we're the center of everything.
Yeah, all right.
My work feels like it's in transition. It doesn't quite fit either one of the pictures. I'd say in the past, it's been for me the first picture.
Yeah.
That. And then recently, I think elements of the second picture are coming to the focus.
would say it's a kind of a new process.
So the same job, but looking at it in a different way.
Right.
I'm curious, do you, I would be curious, which of you, if I had to make you not sit on the fence and say, this is how I experience my work, frankly, or this is, which one would you say is closer? How many of us would say this way?
Yeah.
And this way? All right, so we're, as a group, we're sitting right on the fence, right in the middle. We've got about half and half. All right. Well, part of the weekend, of course, is to move from the sense of disconnection with this, which this represents, and the struggle to connect and the frustration with that, to a more integrated, holistic sense of being part of the body, where we might end up being or where we are right now. So that's, in a sense, the objective. And I think I'd like to read for a moment from Scripture. I'd like to read from a, there are three of the body images. I'd like to read from one of them this afternoon, from 1 Corinthians. I'll read verses 4 to 26, I think.
What chapter?
1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same sovereign. And there are varieties of working, but the same God who inspires them in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as the Spirit wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs of the body, each one of them as God chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we invest with the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. One member suffers, all suffer together. One member is honored, all rejoice together. One of the biggest challenges, I think, to the church as we move towards the end of this century is to understand this type of image. To move from a segmented society where the church is considered to be that segment, and where the average person in this country, if you ask what they're doing for their church, they talk about what they're doing inside the church building, and where they can make those, put up those walls and say, when I'm out there, this is, that's out there, that's the secular world, that's different, and make a disconnection. And can we get to the point where when we're doing volunteer work in the church or on political action, or when we are working as parents or brothers and sisters in our homes, can we get to the point when we're working in factories where we can see that as being intimately connected with our faith, and that Christ is Lord over all of what we do? That is really the challenge before us, and it's not something that that we're expected to do 100% as of this moment, but it's something that we move towards. So, we will be this evening picking up on a couple of people's stories, and in particular with the defense industry, a couple of people look a little bit more in depth on how a couple of people have journeyed, made their faith work journey. I might add a couple of other points here. One is that that to make these connections not only brings life out there, but also brings life in here. That if you have a church that has closed itself off from the rest of the world, or as many churches do, I mean, I've seen churches that are very involved in some justice issues in terms of influencing the government, but still cut people off from their workplace and their homes. We need to open up to all of that. I don't even remember where I was heading. I had a point that I was going to make, but that's all right. Over the weekend, there are three kinds of questions we're going to raise. Let's go to the vocation one. Let me come back to this image for a minute, and I'll shift back. If you're out here, or here in the homes, if you're in one part of the body, there really are three questions that I think, if we oversimplified it, three questions you need to ask. Where in the world is God calling me to serve? All right, that's the question of vocation. Once you answer that, what does it mean to be faithful in that context? Now, there may be more than one answer to that, by the way. God may be calling you to serve as a parent, and also to serve on a town council, and also to serve in the workplace. So you may have more than one answer. This is not necessarily just a one-answer question. What does it mean to be faithful in that particular context? And then we get into all the questions of, should I do this, should I do that? And even if sometimes when we know what we should be doing, how do we really do it? Because it's really hard, and there are temptations in the other direction. So that's a second question. And a third question, how does my faith be a resource to me? How can my faith and my faith community, my prayer life and all aspects of my faith help me in the answer to these two? So those are the kinds of questions we'll be picking up on over the weekend. Okay, we've got dinner coming up in 10 minutes.
Can I just say one thing that struck me when you read that I'd never thought about before is the fact that you don't have a choice about whether or not you're part of the body. You only have a choice about whether you function.
Uh-huh.
It says, if the foot says to the hand, I'm not a part of the body, the answer is it doesn't make it any less part of the body. So we're part of it whether we want to be or not. And the question is whether or not we're going to function as a healthy part and give life back to the heart or not.
And if we don't function as a healthy part, we are doing that to the detriment of all.
Then we're disconnecting other people, too.
That's kind of what youth baptism is about. This child, Millie Willie, gets baptized and is then a member of that body.
Yeah.
And then has to choose to turn away from that as an adult. That's why you're there. And then I prefer the meaning of infant baptism over the meaning of an adult making a choice to be baptized.
Any Baptists want to speak up here?
I was just going to say.
What if you weren't baptized as you?
I'll say that.
Get baptized when you can. It makes you know that's a part of the body.
Go ahead, back there.
I just wanted to add something that I always perceived as the body. I never looked at the body as referred to in the Bible as all Christians, because I think all of us, the whole human race is part of the body, and I don't think we should exclude all the other beliefs, and because they all work together.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah, there is an issue, and I don't know. In the 5 minutes before, I'm really glad you raised that, and these different points of view are really important. If you're out here in a particular company, who is the body of Christ out there? Is it everybody who goes to church, everybody who's been baptized, everybody who's working for the causes that are consistent with biblical purposes? Who, everybody, including everybody, or just the people that are working for those causes? There are a lot of different ways to look at that. Any comments? What do you think?
The theology that's emerging in the Catholic Church is that everybody's saved. Some people choose not to be, but that the particular role of Christians is to show that God is alive and well in our community right now. People who are not Christian, or we're not there necessarily to convert them, just simply to be an example to them.
There's a lot of Turks in the Middle Ages who like to have heard that message.
I say it's emerging.
Well, but it's also, go ahead.
I guess I have a problem with that quote-unquote Christian thing again, because I believe that other religions, their God is the same God, only they perceive it in a different way.
Yeah.
Just see God in a totally different way, but I think that just our own breath of life sort of proves that we all have the same higher being.
Uh-huh. What about atheists?
Well, I think that atheists have sort of developed sort of a religion of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe that they have a God within them. They just choose not to acknowledge that. I've known some atheist people that are very loving, very wonderful, positive people, and I don't see anything wrong.
Some of my best friends are atheists, right?
Yeah, I have a best friend. He's also black, I want you to know.
What about what we were talking about before? You know, it's like, we're all members, but whether we participate or not participate is the issue. I think just by being a member of the human race, you're automatically part of God's creation, part of the body of Christ. It's a matter of whether or not you participate, choose to participate in that.
Are we life-giving cells or dead cells?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Ed, I guess we come back a little bit again to the context of that passage and it was written. I don't think that Paul was referring to, when he speaks about the body of Christ, I think he was speaking about the church.
Yeah.
You know, he was speaking about the church or the congregation. I can sympathize with this idea of reaching out. I think that's what the church is supposed to do. Now, of course, you raise a whole different question, you know, when you begin to broaden the scope there as to what the place of the church is. In other words, why are we the church if everybody's church is, you know, just as good or just the same? And why what individual individuality we have as a Christian church.
Uh-huh.
What place do we have? What business do we have in saying, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations?
Do you want to answer one of your questions?
Well, I guess I would say...
We need 7 minutes.
That is a long, maybe a long answer. Because I sympathize with what Cheryl is saying there. I think that we do indeed need to consider all people as part of God's plan somewhere along the line. I guess I would also say that somewhere I as an individual, and maybe a Buddhist as an individual, has to take their stand and say, this is the way I see God working in the world, and I've got to work from that angle and that end. Otherwise, we might just as well have to scrap the scriptures, the Bible and everything, or the Buddhists or the Mohammedans, we'll have to scrap the Quran. See, let's just put them all together.
Okay, one last comment, then we're going to have to break.
Okay, I guess the comment that I had when you were reading that passage was that it's really easy for us to say, that's them and this is us, the them and we, whatever issue it is, from homosexuality to defense projects, that's them and this is me. And because we have to connect there somehow, that's, even different faiths or something, that's what struck me.
Yep.
Yeah, I think
we
do have to connect.
Well, we're not going to, the object of this is, this raises a lot. What we're doing here is what we're talking about happens out here. We've got differences in here. And how do we live with differences of opinion and really learn from each other? And what does Christ want us to do with these differences of opinion? Are we to convert each other, or are we to understand each other and let it go? Some hard questions. Okay, well. To be continued.